Yeah. If you have your Bibles, I invite you to turn with me to 2 Peter chapter 1. First of all, how was church in the park? Nice. It's kind of like we're letting the outdoors in a little bit today. We've got the breeze coming through. It's kind of nice. Trees blowing over. It's kind of awesome. Second Peter 1. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who through the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ have received a faith as precious as ours, grace and peace be yours in abundance through the knowledge of God and of our Jesus our Lord. His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. Through these, He has given us His very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness, knowledge, and to knowledge, self-control, and to self-control, perseverance, and to perseverance, godliness, and to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But if anyone does not have them, he's nearsighted, blind, and has forgotten that he's been cleansed from his past sins. Therefore, my brothers, be all the more eager to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never fall, and you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I continue to be underwhelmed by what I see happening in the larger world around us all the time. That when we look around, it seems to me as though, and I mean, we all see through a very narrow lens, which is our own, right? I mean, history does a much better job of informing us of exactly what's going on around us, but it certainly seems to me that our time, our culture right now is incredibly toxic, is incredibly divisive, is incredibly focused on the individual, is angry, is bitter, is afraid, and is reactive. And this isn't the first time this has ever happened in human history, but it seems to be here in abundance now. That around us all the time, you flip on the television, you turn on the radio, you do whatever, you are bombarded with reasons why you should be angry, agitated, overreactive, terrified, anxious. Everything that seems to come is this opportunity to be negative, this opportunity to be upset at something and someone all the time. And I have been really, when I say I've been underwhelmed, I have been so underwhelmed with how the church has responded to this opportunity. How we have failed to be a contrast to all of this that we see around us. How we have failed to be an alternative. But instead, we have jumped headfirst into this mix and have been more than happy to amplify anger, have been more than happy to amplify anxiety. We've been more than happy to amplify overreaction. And in the forefront, this mix of everything being unsettled and everyone being upset, as opposed to the Christian community being the one that bands together, that has something different, that points to something different, that stands for someone different, and insists on hope and grace and mercy and compassion, because that's how God met us. Instead, we found ourselves caught up in debate and argument and disagreement over all sorts of things that have little or nothing to do with Christ. We have sacrificed our voice so many times on things that are just not worthy of the hope we've received. It doesn't mean that we haven't spoken or used our voice about things that may matter. We've just used our voice on things that don't matter most. And when we use our voice in that way, it means we don't use our voice in the way it matters most. We've exhausted it. We have spent our energy. We have spent our opportunity on things that, rather than building grace and love and hope and mercy, which are how God met us, build anxiety, division, fear, worry. And because we do that, we find ourselves as a larger Christian community searching for other solutions. There was an article I read yesterday, a very prominent Christian writer and pastor proposed that Christian men should shoot transgendered people they find in the wrong bathrooms. Now, this bathroom debate may be important to some people, and it may really matter, and we may have really strong opinions about it. But spending all of our energy on that discussion is not central to our calling, is not central to the person of Christ, and has even sent this one person who's trying to lead others down the path that destroys instead of the path that heals. Down the path that divides and segregates and builds fear and anxiety, that creates the other as monster instead of the other as brother or sister or whatever. We see this all around us all the time. And we live in such an opportune moment where you and I can remember daily just how loved we are, just how saved we are, just how big and glorious this grace of God is, because of the things we encounter. Because our calling is that we have received hope and promise and love. We've received all this. We already have it. And yet sometimes we live as though we don't. We've received all of this goodness, all of this joy, all of this peace, all of this deliverance, all of this knowledge that God is with us, that God is for us, that God has a calling upon us, that God has loved us, that God has saved us, that God is with us, that we are not in this alone, and that God has these amazing plans, that God is not defeated. Is God defeated? Then why do we act as though He is? Is God powerless? Then why do we speak as though He's not present? We find ourselves caught up in an incredibly divided, incredibly polarized, anxious time. And rather than leaning upon the everlasting, who was and is and always will be, we find ourselves caught up in so many things that are less than God's full presence. And we find ourselves representing things in the name of Christ that are very far from the person of Christ. We find ourselves distracted. We find ourselves neck deep in the mess instead of pointing to hope and light and promise. And Peter begins this letter by speaking to people just like you and me. People who found themselves in the midst of a troubled time, in the midst of a culture they maybe didn't understand or didn't agree with, in the midst of challenge with threats of violence, in a divided, conquered country, where they weren't sure about their opportunities, they weren't sure what lay ahead for them, they were not the ones in power, they were not the ones who were dictating terms, they were not the ones in control, and yet they were seeking to be a part of this community of God that had gotten a hold of them and was shaping them and was changing them. And he begins this and he says, His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. So he starts by saying, you have everything you need already. You can look for answers in all sorts of other places. You can try to take sides in an argument. You can try to feel like you've got it all figured out. You can hedge yourself in and put yourself on an island because you're the one with the answers. Or you can step away from everything that's going on around you and remember that you have everything you need because of the God who loves you and because of what God is like. And when you remember that it's because of His grace, His glory, His mercy, that you are loved and you are upheld, that you have everything that you need, then you are actually free. Through these things, He has given us His very great and precious promises. God keeps His promises. God is with you. God will not forget you. God will not forsake you. God knows you. He's not going to abandon you. You are not alone. Through God's promises, we have the opportunity to participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. What's the divine nature? Well, the divine nature, if you go back throughout the entire biblical story, the divine nature is always one that is creating and healing, that is pulling together and building up. Always. Through many ways, with many different approaches, many different angles, many different ways of trying to accomplish this, the Spirit, the movement, the very will of God spoke the world into creation. Spoke everything into existence. That this creative energy of God has made everything that is. And when we stray and when we sin and when we break fellowship with God and everything starts breaking apart, the will and the power and the Spirit of God is the thing that takes these that are trying to get away from each other and pulls them back together again and says, you were made to be whole. You were made to be restored. You were made for more than this. Behold, I am making all things new. This work of God that was and is and always will be. And you and I, because of grace and glory, have the opportunity to participate in this divine nature. So I have to ask, with the words you say, with the things you do, with the places you go, with the ways in which we interact, are you building up or tearing down? Are you participating in restoration? Or are you engaged in division? Do you find yourself participating in all of the culture's muck that is around us all the time with a co-share in what's going on around us? Or have you committed yourself to point to something else, to be a part of a different narrative, to insist upon something greater, to be consumed by one who is greater, to be called son, daughter, beloved, and to remind others they are beloved as well? For this very reason, make every effort. And Peter goes on and basically says, build. Don't sit where you are. Don't stay put. Don't allow the status quo to entice you. Don't allow the fear of changing things to overwhelm you. Do not be fooled into thinking that wherever you are is the end of your journey. For you have some place yet to go with God. Do you have faith of any kind? Do you have any faith? Has God given you any faith? Even if it's been beat up, even if it's been knocked down, is there any faith left? If there is, add goodness to it. Add goodness. Do you have goodness? Add knowledge. Do you have knowledge? Add self-control. Do you have self-control? Add perseverance. Rise up. Stand. Endure. Do you have perseverance? Add godliness. If you have godliness, add kindness. If you have kindness, add love. This constant call to always not just be thinking, not just be reading, to be actually moving with the Spirit of God, with the Spirit of Christ. Do you have faith? Add goodness. Do you have goodness? Add knowledge. Always be adding, 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 adding. Because God always has something more to give you and to show you. And the more you're building upon this foundation of faith, the less opportunity you have to be knocked down and convinced that everything's falling apart, that God has no power or voice, and you are alone. And if you are alone, you must take drastic, dreadful measures to make sure that you survive. That is the message that keeps coming in from the outside. And the message that God is speaking to the inside is, you are loved, you are held, and I am with you. Behold, I am making all things new. Breathe in again the promises in the Spirit of God. Be reminded of just how loved and held you are. You are forgiven. You are redeemed. You are restored. No matter what life throws at you, I guarantee you God is greater. No matter what life throws at you, God is greater. And God is with you. Would you pray with me? Gracious God, as we have so many opportunities around us all the time, opportunities to go one way or the other, opportunities to build or to tear down, opportunities to hope or to fear, opportunities to spread joy or anger, opportunities to choose bitterness or forgiveness, opportunities all around us all the time. God, may we not be paralyzed by all of this choice and this desire to be on the right side, to make the right answers, but instead, God, may we just be consumed by your presence, because in you it is enough. In you there is grace and hope and promise. In you is everything that we need. So remind us this day of how close to us you are. Remind us this day of how much you love us. Remind us of what you have done, how you have set us free. Remind us, O God, that we belong to you. And then help us, O God, to by your Spirit build upon this foundation, to depend upon grace, to insist upon hope. In thy name we pray. Amen.